Man, I'm shaking this morning. Good night. You know, to be even in the presence of such godly men, I'm thankful. Amen. Well, the Lord's going to have to calm me down just a second. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. I have something to say that has been on my heart. And God has been dealing with me for some time, I would say in the last 3 weeks. And it absolutely amazes me how God puts together a plan that if we would only take time, like the brother just said, Brother Bryant, where we would have that ear. See, God has prepared my ear to hear what He's been trying to speak to me for months. But see, I was so proud that I was already arrived at where I was supposed to be. I already had a church. I already had the call on my life. I'd already accomplished the things that I had set forth to accomplish in my life, some things that I wanted to do, that I was accomplished at doing. But see, I hadn't yet set out on the plan that God had for me. And see, even though I am a pastor of a church actively, and I thank God for the church and the flock that He set me over. But you know, so often we would go and we would have church. You know, have you ever gotten that kind of rut? You just kind of went to church and you sang "Just As I Am" at the end there and hoped somebody would move. And if they did, maybe most of the congregation didn't even hope they moved. Because, you know, if they moved, that'd just make us that much later. Amen. You know? And, you know, I don't know about you, but I got a lot of folks does this. You know? I've just now started getting bold enough to tell them, so, you know, if I see this one more time, I'm just going to preach another 10 minutes. You don't mind, do you? I know you know what time it is because I've seen you look. Amen? But I want to tell you what's the truth. The Lord has been dealing with me in such a way in these past several weeks. And I'm going to tell you, folks, I have failed God in trying to minister out of my own power, trying to... operate a church, His church. See, it's not my church, it's His church. It don't belong to the head of the board of deacons. It don't belong to a certain clique in the church. Well, we've been here 47 years and we plan to stay here. And see, we run off the last preacher and we can run you off too. Well, let me tell you something. I'm here to stick because God put me here. And listen, I'm not running. Okay? Now, you might shave me and try to send me out of here on a rail, but I'm telling you what, I'm coming back tarred and feathered, amen? I'll just be a preaching chicken one time. But I'm going to tell you, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to stick with where God has put us. I didn't wake up one morning and say, I'm going to be the pastor of this church. I didn't wake up one morning right by that church and say, you know, one day I'm going to take that church over right there. One day I'm just going to be, the main man right here. No! Can I tell you something? I was called to preach and was glad of it. You know, I ran just like everybody else, but the bottom line was that if you got the call on you, you will surrender. You will surrender. You know, you can't fight God. God has a plan, and one day you're going to get into that plan. And I'm just sorry to the Lord that it's taken me so long to get rid of this stiff neck. So long to get rid of the pride and the things that I think is important. It's like Paul said, it's dumb. All the education in the world, and listen, I know there's a whole lot more people here smarter than I am. But see, all the education in the world is not going to reach a lost and dying world. You can memorize all the lexicons you want to. You can do all the things you want to do. You can get all the degrees you wanted to get. But you know something? Unless you got the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God upon your life, you are a tinkling cymbal and a sounding brass. You'll not reach the first person. There'll not be one person walk down that aisle. And Brother Vaughn touched on this morning where our churches are. How long has it been since you saw your church upset about Jesus? Well, how long has it been since people started staying over? Listen, I told my church Sunday morning, I said, I know you come in to get out, but I come in this morning to get in. And I'm going to stay in. And if you want in, you're going to stay in with me. Everybody else wants out, then go on out. And amen. You're not going to bother me at all. I just praise God for the opportunity of preaching. I love good preaching. I love true preaching. I love biblical preaching. I want something that's going to change my heart. Amen. I want something that's going to challenge my soul to do more for Jesus tomorrow than I did today. I don't want to be the same person tomorrow that I am today. Because you know why? I'm going to fail Jesus today. And so are you. But I'm thankful that He's just to forgive us our sins if we would confess our sins and repent. Amen? Man, I went to the coast. You know, Christians go to the coast. We don't go to the beach, but went to the coast, took a couple of days off last week. Praise God, don't get a chance too often to take time off, but come back sick, amen. Maybe that's just a sign, you know. Christians ought not to go down there around that old unworldly bunch, amen. But, you know, then again, we're called to be the light of the world. We're called to go into dark places, and where the dark is, the dark comprehended not the light, amen. But listen, we're supposed to go anyway. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite your attention to, let me see where I am. The book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, chapter 3. Now, before we get there, I want to kind of build you somewhat of a stage in how God has been dealing with me. You know, we're just a couple of weeks past Easter weekend. I love Easter. Amen. I thank the Christian ought to celebrate Easter every day of the life. Amen. To know that when I rise in the morning to life, that I know that my Lord and Savior has promised to give me life and it more abundantly. I know that when I see that sun come up over the horizon every morning, listen, that's a brand new day of grace, and that His grace will be sufficient for me. And wherever I go, He's already gone before me. He says my steps are ordered by God. And listen, I pray every day that God, I don't know where my steps are going to go, but You do. I had no idea I would even get an opportunity to preach here this week. But I said, Lord, if I get an opportunity, I'm going to tell them what You've laid on my heart. Amen. So God had been dealing with me weeks before I got here so that You'd get this word. Now, Brother Terry last night laid a good foundation for this message. I'm going to tell you, it was almost verbatim based on the ideas that I had when God was dealing with me with this message. And it was all about seeking Him. Just before we were about to leave the coast, sick and snotting everywhere, on the way home, there was a cable truck in that place where we stayed. And on the bumper sticker of that car or that truck, it said, "Wise men still seek Him." And I thought to myself, God hit me right there, right between the eyes. He said, "You're not seeking me. Am I a wise man? Are you a wise man? Are you a wise lady today? Are you seeking God?" You know, it wasn't by coincidence that the wise men so many years ago was seeking Jesus. He had been prophesied. They had been seeking the Messiah. Finally, the angels come and said, "Oh, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, not just me, not just the white, not just the black, but to the Asian, and to the whosoever will receive Jesus Christ." He said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." And those wise men went seeking Jesus. Amen. Amen. They were seeking Him. They were seeking Him. They went through great trials and tribulations seeking Him. Even old Herod tried to cut them off at the pass and say, "When you find Him, you come back and tell me, because I want to worship Him." But the Holy Spirit of God showed them in a vision that they should go back another way. Amen. Because He showed them that Herod wasn't really seeking Jesus for the right reasons. Amen. Seeking Him. There at the Easter holiday, there in Luke chapter 24, where the ladies there were going back and they had heard how Jesus had prophesied that He would rise from the dead in 3 days. But listen, folks, they had seen Jesus raise people from the dead. But He was alive when He raised those people. But now He has given up the ghost, even on the cross. He said, "Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit." They knew that He was dead. They didn't know that He would have that same power that He was now that He was dead, even though He had prophesied it. But they went back that day to properly prepare the body of Jesus Christ. An angel asked them a question. "Why you seek? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's risen. Listen, can I remind you that the ladies, listen, if you ever stop to think about that, ladies, that you don't have a proper place in God's plan, can I tell you something and remind you that ladies were the first ones to bear the good news that Jesus has risen? Amen? He said, go tell my disciples. Amen? That's good news, isn't it? Christ is risen. You know, probably thousands of years ago, people say Christ is risen. Say, he is indeed. That was the whole, it wasn't hello, good morning, how are you? Christ is risen. Indeed, he has risen. And he's risen in my heart and quickened my soul to life. He has risen. Even Isaiah says there in chapter 55, seek you the Lord while he may be found. Are you seeking him while you can find him? Are you seeking him? We among all the people should seek God even more earnestly and diligently than the regular laborer in the church. Listen, folks, we've got a call on our life. And so often that I feel like that we have arrived. Have you ever felt like that? Oh, yeah. Well, I'm called to preach and I'm Pastor so-and-so and Dr. so-and-so and, you know, I can quote you scripture all day long and I can get deep in the Bible with you and all this kind of thing. You know, I love what Adrian Rogers said. He said it's so shallow a child can just play around the edges of God's Word. But yet so deep, all the theologians can dive as deep as they want to and never touch bottom. Listen, we'll never arrive at understanding the fullness of God or His Word. But we are to seek it. Women were seeking Jesus Christ. People need to understand something that is essential to the believer today is the seeking of Jesus Christ. I believe there's a presumption of the church today. And what I mean by that is Christians and we as leaders of our church have the same presumption in that after salvation, we're all about getting people in, aren't we? Oh, let's reach the lost at any cost and we'll bankrupt the church. We'll do everything we can. Come up with all the programs and all these little gimmicks and get them in. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and accept Jesus Christ and then we just put everything on cruise control. Oh, it's just automatic, isn't it? Just drop it down in deep, brother. Hit the highway to glory and hey, it's all over. But can I remind you that that's where it starts? That's not where it ends. We're to seek Jesus Christ with everything that is within us. And listen, the reason why I'm preaching it with such conviction is because God convicted me and I had to repent. I had to repent that, oh God, listen, I appreciate the call and the blessings upon my life, but I haven't been seeking you. I haven't earnestly fallen on my face before God in prayer and earnestly, and I'm talking about diligently seeking the face of Almighty God. Oh, playing church. You know, I've been in church all my life. All my life I've been in church. My dad was a preacher. Amen. Praise God for good godly mom and dads. God bless you this morning. Amen. I knew the truth. I'd heard the truth. But I knew the commitment that my father had made. And I thought that'd play a little something between me and God. Had the Word of God preached to me like water on a duck's back. I believe familiarity breeds contempt. I believe that we just think through osmosis, through some type of spiritual osmosis, that we're just going to automatically go to heaven because we've got good godly parents. Can I tell you that it's a one-on-one experience? Can I tell you if you haven't experienced the change of God in your heart and your soul and your mind by putting on the mind of Christ, can I tell you this morning that it just didn't happen? Second Sunday in October 1998, I lost my father-in-law. He had gone on, 63 years old, heart attack. Unexpected, totally. He was my fishing buddy. He was my hunting buddy. We owned 27 old beagles together. Hunting dogs, loved to hear them hunting dogs run. Oh man, that hit me like a ton of bricks. That was the first person in my life that God, that was close enough to me to make an impact to know that my life is just a vapor. Boy, we're here today and we're gone tomorrow. Oh, just one day he was enjoying ribeye steak on the grill while I had the dogs out running with a stick and he was in there cooking the day before he died. Listen to those dogs run. The best thing he loved that better than snuff. I'm going to tell you, man, you know, if you ever own some dogs and you ever run them, you know how satisfying it is to hear them hit a trail. Oh, me. He had no concept that day that day would be his last. He had no prevision whatsoever. And listen, I don't know whether that man was saved. He did make a profession of faith at some point in time in his life, but at the end of his life, he wasn't living a life of Jesus Christ. How do you know? He was my best buddy. Every year for the last 13 years previous to 1998, we went to Daytona Beach, Florida, every February for the Daytona 500. I knew that man. I didn't know him as well as his wife knew him, but I knew him. Now, I can't judge your heart this morning, and you can't judge mine. But can I ask you a question? Has there been a change? Has God changed you? Are you seeking God? My father-in-law wasn't seeking God. He was seeking whatever comes next. Oh, me. Lord, rest his soul. I hope to see him. I really do. But listen, I'm not his judge or yours either. We got to get off this idea that we can just get saved and it's on cruise control. That, well, if God wants to know me, he'll present himself to me. He'll just manifest himself to me. We can sit down and everything's all right. And if God wants me to know him, then he'll show himself to me. That's not Bible. Amen. It's not Bible. Can I tell you this morning that the responsibility after salvation shifts, the responsibility of seeking shifts from God to you. Amen. The responsibility of seeking is God's before salvation. God sought out Abraham as a people set aside, peculiar for him, that the seed of Jesus Christ would come. Yeah. Give him a vision of a brand new nation. Made him a promise that all nations would be blessed because of you. Why? Abraham wasn't any different than us. He was a sinner too. But God, by his righteousness, imputed righteousness on behalf of Abraham and set Abraham aside and sent him to a country that Abraham didn't have a clue where he was going. God pursued Abraham. God pursued Noah. God pursued Moses. God pursued Moses in a way that, listen, he needed a leader to lead his people out of captivity. God pursued Moses even out there in the old plains of Horeb. Amen. Moses had already run from Pharaoh. He wasn't looking for Jesus Christ. He wasn't looking for the Lord, but the Lord knew where he was. God pursued him. God pursued Isaiah as a man that needed to be cleansed. God pursued Samuel and showed him how the anointing oil of God could flow if he was in his presence. God pursued Gideon, that great warrior. God pursued all these great men of God. God pursued David through Samuel. David was out looking at the sheep. The last thing from his mind that he'd ever be the king of Israel. But God pursued David. See, the responsibility of seeking you is on behalf of God until he gets you. Amen. After that, it moves and the responsibility becomes ours. God pursued Paul, did he not? You remember Saul in the Bible, before his name was changed to Paul? Persecuted the church in every way. Amen. Putting them in shackles and bonds and prison and beating them and enjoying it because he was a Pharisee. Remember the Sanhedrin? Persecuting the very church of God. But one day, on the way to Damascus, Jesus, in all of his mercy, had an arrest warrant with Brother Paul's name on it. Met him on the road. And as the light shone about him, knocked him off of his steed. And he said, "Oh, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Had an encounter with Jesus. See, Jesus pursued Paul. Why? Because he had a plan for Paul's life. Not only did God pursue all these men of God, but God pursued you. God pursued you. You didn't get saved when you wanted to get saved. You didn't go to church that day to get saved. God had another plan for you. And on that day you received Jesus Christ, there was an arrest warrant that had been issued from the foundations of this world that your name was written down in a book. And he says, "You didn't choose me, I chose you. And when I choose you, I will pursue you." And when you said yes to Jesus, What did all the disciples there on the Sea of Galilee, as Jesus walked and he was preaching, and he looked at Matthew and he says, come follow me. Pick up your cross. Follow me. Jesus didn't say, come follow me, and then he sat down.
Yeah.
He kept walking. See, when you were pursued and you said yes to Jesus, Jesus didn't sit down beside you. He said, take up your cross and follow me. And he kept walking. See, I remember when I got saved. Man, there were so many questions in my mind. Listen, for the first time in my life, my eyes were open to the truth. And I saw myself as a sinner, bound for hell. That, listen, no matter how good my mom and dad were, listen, I wasn't good enough to go to heaven. And I'm still not today if it wasn't for the grace of Calvary that covered my sin debt. Oh, listen, I didn't go to church that day to get saved. My wife said, listen, I just lost my dad. I had plans for a golf game that day. Oh, yeah. Oh, early tea time. Boy, we could play 36 holes on Sunday. Called my brother. Played golf 4 days a week. That's back when I could play, amen. But I'm going to tell you something. My wife said, listen, would you go to church with me? I said, I need you right now in my life. She's only a child. She just lost her dad. And I was heartbroken myself because my best friend on this earth had died. And I could only imagine how she must be crushed. All of a sudden, 63 years old, boom, dead, fell dead right there. I mean, it was no resuscitation, no nothing. She said, would you go to church with me? My wife, a good godly woman. I lied to her when I got married. Preacher, they counseled us. He said, son, are you born again? I said, yes, sir. I knew how to spell it. I even knew the Bible. See, as I grew up, my mom and dad, we had family time together, and my dad would make us remember Scripture. And, I could tell him about the kings of Israel, but I didn't know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, I could tell him all about the Bible, even debate the Bible with him. But I knew nothing of the author and finisher of that faith of the Bible. Oh, I didn't seek him. I didn't want him. See, I wanted his power and I wanted his prestige. And I wanted people to link me into this good crowd. But I didn't want to change anything. I just wanted to add him to what I already had. Oh, I believe a whole lot of folks just add Jesus to the life, don't you? My daughter has some friends that are lost, but they're good people. Oh, if we could just add God to what we have already. It'd be great, wouldn't it? Oh, no change. Just whitewash the old man. We are to aggressively seek God. Because when we become passive in our attempt to build our relationship with Him, we leave out the blessings that otherwise would have been ours. And by the way, Christian, you're more prone to backslide. You're more prone of giving devil hold in your life somewhere, a foothold. And let me tell you something. He get that toe in the door, brother. He's got a foot in before you realize it. Then his old leg comes in. Before you know it, he's got a hold on you. You thought you'd never do or say these things. And he's in control. How'd he get back in? How'd we let him? We wasn't seeking God. See, the responsibility falls back on the believer. I believe... we don't have to tarry for that either. Just like the apostles did there in Acts chapter 1. Where they was tarrying for the Father's gift. You know what I'm saying? See, we don't have to tarry. That gift's already here. Amen? We find ourselves in an area. And listen, I know Ecclesiastes says there's a time for everything under the sun. But can I just give you a little nugget this morning that God gave me? Because I started asking, why isn't the power of God on my life? Why am I losing... influence with people. Listen, they don't listen to us as leaders of the church because you're you. They listen because they perceive that you have been with God. And when that perception is gone, you lose your influence as a leader. Listen, God didn't call you to lead the people. He called you to be a messenger, and He's going to lead the people. But how's He going to lead them if you ain't listening to Him? Oh, We don't have to tarry. You know, I believe, and this is the nugget I was going to give you. Everybody says, well, I think we ought to wait on the Lord. Let's just wait on the Lord. There is a time, ladies and gentlemen, that we must wait on the Lord. Amen? But this is not one of them. We're talking about spiritual growth and moving on down the spiritual highway. Listen, we don't have to wait and tarry on the Spirit. The Spirit's waiting on us. Amen? Listen, we're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you. He's waiting on you to do the seeking. The responsibility is switching from God to you at the moment of transformation. What do you believe? How's your works match up to what you believe? I'm not talking about your talk. I'm talking about your walk. Listen, I don't want you to come tell me how prosperous you are. Just be prosperous. Amen? Don't tell me you're a preacher or a missionary. Just be one. Don't tell me you teach Sunday school. Just teach. Don't tell me you're a singer. Just sing. Amen? Listen, we're so busy getting the recognition, we don't even meet the requirements. Oh, you're trying to pat ourselves on the back. Look at what I can do. Hey, man. Oh, no. I can do nothing without Him. I am nothing without Him. I was nothing when He found me, and I'd be nothing if He dropped me today. Listen, I have nothing to preach except Jesus. I have not a burden on my heart that He hasn't put there Himself. And if I don't seek Him, those burdens become lighter because my care and concern for my flock goes down because of my seeking. Do your works and actions match up? Does your word match how you walk? Are you doers of the word or just hearers only? And you got the most scripture you have. Praise the Lord. What about those people with just zeal? I'm going to get to it. You see those people in the church all the time, don't you? Boy, they're flashing the pan. Boy, they can sing. Woo! Boy, they got a good word on them, don't they? Boy, they dress in fine clothes. Man, you know, I'm telling you what's the truth. First one down here at the prayer room. Got plenty of zeal. Paul told the Romans there in chapter 10, they're seeking something, but they're not seeking God. They have the zeal about them, but not according to the knowledge of the Word of God or Himself. And it says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, not having submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You ever been found like that? Are you submitting yourself to His righteousness? Because we have no righteousness. It's filthy rags. See, they're aggressive, but it's born out of a wild flesh. Their ambition, their greed, or even out of their need, they serve God. See, that's not a true seeking of God. It's fleshly. Zechariah says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Habakkuk had a blueprint for it. Jesus gave it to him. He said, write a vision, make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. Can somebody look at your plan, at your walk, and tell how you're running? Or are you like the guy over in Proverbs 6 that your feet are swift to run to mischief? See, I was guilty of some of that. Philippians, I must hit it and then go. But verse 7, chapter 3 and verse 7. Now this is Paul talking. I want you to notice the total transformation of his mind. All right? But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. That is a whole transformation of his whole thought process. There were certain things that Paul could be proud of. And if you read up a few verses earlier, you'll find out that he was an educated man, intelligent, articulate. He spoke several different languages. He was a law keeper. He was a moral person. He was zealous concerning the law. And he was even of the tribe of Benjamin. A full-blooded Jew, a Pharisee, member of the Sanhedrin. All these things Paul could brag about. All these things were a fine achievement to everyone else that looked upon his life. But what did he say? The things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. I'm not speaking of just being whitewashed of the old man. That basically we're the same person we were before, but now we're just trying to manipulate the power of God. Through the flesh. See, there's been no mind renewing. There's been nothing that's changed in your mind. There's no priorities that have changed. And I'm not talking about just behavioral changes. I'm talking about priority changes. Paul said the things that I counted for gain at one time and meant something are now counted for loss because of Christ. See, you want God. You want what He has. Brother Hennis just touched on it. See, these charismatic crap, listen, they want everything God's got except for Him. We want all the blessings. We're going to be prosperous and all this kind of stuff. We're going to get it just a minute. You know what happens when you're that type of person? When you make a profession without a possession. Listen, you want God and all His power, but you don't want God. And when things happen, you know, oh yeah, you're a man of prayer. You're a lady of prayer. But when you pray how you want God to answer your prayer. So you go to church and expect God to move the way you want Him to move. Amen? You want to manipulate the power of God and His Spirit. Can I tell you, you can't do that. You don't have the power to do it. Amen. What happens is just you're more backsliding. You're going to backslide when God don't do what you expect He's going to do. That's right, because you lose hope. You didn't come to serve God. You come that He could serve you. Oh, man, see, that hit me hard. You know why? Because I was guilty. Oh, I'm saved. I would say, yes, I love the Lord. But see, I had slid into a part that I was thinking, well, we're on automatic now. Oh, far be it from the truth. I thank God for the Holy Spirit of God that just indwelled my thoughts at this time. See, Paul was saying, winning Jesus Christ is above all else wonderful. Everything that I know, all that I am, as this world counts for gain, is all lost that I may know Jesus Christ. And I may have Him. You know, we have these people that come in seeking. You know, well, okay, it's 6 o'clock, let's go to the prayer room. Well, we're going to pray an hour tonight. Well, Jesus, but this is the longest hour of my life. See, they didn't come to reach God. They didn't come to seek His face or His wisdom. They came for self-gratification, for somebody to think that they were some kind of religious person. Listen, God don't want that any more than you have to force somebody to kiss you. Oh, huh? You go home and say, well, come on. Well, if we have to. Oh, I read the contract. Oh, yes, I know. I'm supposed to do this. I'm to get it done. Listen, that's not what God's looking for. God's looking for intimacy. God is looking for people that will seek Him diligently. God's looking for somebody that will love Him. Make love to Him. And Him to make love with you. Listen, it's an intimacy that only God can do. See, God don't need man. There's not one thing that God needs that He can't do for Himself. Amen. But there's a whole lot of things I can't do. I need God. See, when I go out of here and I get in my vehicle and I find out I need gas, I'm going to be looking for a gas station. Amen? Have you ever run out of gas and the gas station come looking for you? Huh? No, it don't happen like that. We should be aggressively and diligently seeking God as gas in an empty tank. We also have to admit that, listen, seeking after God must be found wonderful. If it's not wonderful, it's work to you. Has seeking God or living a Christian life ever became work? Listen, if you'd be honest before God, I believe you'd have to say sometime, oh yeah. Oh yeah. You're trying to live out of the flesh. You're trying to be somebody yourself. Can I tell you and remind you again, you're nothing, you're nobody, and I'm not either. They might put PhD behind your name, even DR before your name, but I'm going to tell you what, you'd be nothing if God let you. We have to believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Look at there in verse 9. And be found in Him, and having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul's saying, I don't want my own righteousness. I don't want the righteousness that is a result of keeping the law within me. I want to win the righteousness from knowing Christ, to know that it's born out of intimacy, to know that it's Christ in me and not me in me. There's been some times I've taken the pulpit that I'm me in me. You ever done that? Oh no, you know, we're above that. I want Christ in me, not me in me. I want to make sure that I am possessing what I profess. You know, there's a danger in that. You say, where's the danger? Now, you know, there's no danger if you don't profess to possess something. That's sort of like if this brother over here, if he couldn't sing, of course he can sing. But if he couldn't sing, it'd be a danger for him to profess that he could, would it not? Because Brother Enos is just that to put a microphone up on him. Amen? Say, show us what you got. So it's a dangerous thing to profess what you don't possess, because there's coming a time, ladies and gentlemen, that your feet must hit the ground, and something's got to hit the pavement. Somebody's going to question you. Somebody's going to do something to you. And before we realize it, that we've already got in the flesh, and if there's no God in us, then there's no God coming out of us. And then all of a sudden, what you've professed all these many years is found out that you don't possess what you profess. There is a danger. Paul says there in verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Oh, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. You know, that's where most stop. What about the fellowship of His suffering? Listen, folks, if you don't hear anything, listen to me. Don't you let these modern day positive thinking crowd get you to overlook the sufferings of Jesus Christ. He said, listen, remember the world hated me before it hated you. When you're in a tough situation and people and things not going your way, listen, remember that it hated Christ before it hated you. They don't hate you, they hate who you represent. Oh, that I may know Him. The power of His resurrection, yes. But the fellowship of His sufferings. Can I remind you that there's some things about God that you cannot learn unless you go through His sufferings? Oh, listen, there's going to be some downtime. There's going to be some uptime. I thank the brother for the mountain message. Amen. I think it's time most of us start climbing up the mountain. Regardless of what your situation is. You may not even have a church, and you hit on that. Well, you can climb the mountain all by yourself. Amen. Well, sometimes it'd be better if we climbed the mountain by ourselves. Didn't have to pull nobody with us. Because, see, then God can work with us. Amen? Oh, the power of His resurrection. Fellowship of His suffering. Don't leave out the fellowship of His suffering. You don't even know your companion unless you go through some suffering. You can say what you want to. But when things are going right, listen, anybody in the world will eat filet mignon with you. Think about it. Anybody in the world will eat filet mignon with you? But let me tell you, when you get to the suffering part, when you get to filet bean, that's when you know who you got. Amen? That's even in your companionship. And you know that when you're in relationship with Jesus Christ, that through the sufferings, the fellowship of His suffering, is when you'll know the very intimacy of God and Him working within you. Oh, I'm thankful for verse 12, and I got to quit. Now, well, verse 11, Paul's just saying there, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He wants to say, I have to know it, I have to possess it, and I have to be sure about it. Verse 12. You know, I'm so thankful this verse of Scripture is in the Bible. Amen. You know, all the doctors in the room, all the missionaries, all the pastors, all the laborers, all the church workers and everybody else. You know, you don't have to be phony anymore. Isn't that great? We don't have to put up a front anymore. You know why? Paul wrote in the Bible. Now see, I want you to take into consideration, Paul is writing the Bible that we're preaching out of. Okay? The Holy Spirit is using Paul to write to the Philippians what we're preaching out of. And this is what he says. Not as though I had already attained. Now, Brother Paul had attained many things. I'd already told you about the long list of achievements that he had achieved. But can I tell you something? He said, I count it all lost to know that I may know Him. But can I, look at here. He said that not as though I had already attained. Either we're already perfect. Now, you can take that word perfect and move it and put completed there. He's not completed, neither are we. I don't care what they call you. I don't care where you've been or how long you've been saved. You're not complete. You have not attained that what which you have to attain. Amen? Let's go on. It says, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of, Jesus Christ. Oh, let me get that one more time. He said, I haven't attained. So see, we don't have to put up a front. You know, everybody in this room, everybody in the world that's born again and knows Jesus Christ have not attained. We're not there yet. That's what Paul's saying right there. He said, I want you to know that even through all my suffering, all the many shipwrecks and all the beatings and everything, and I'm writing to you out of prison even now, but can I tell you something? I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. Yeah, I'm called to be the pastor of this church, and you know, we got this school and all these other things that I'm over that God put, but you know, we're not there yet. We haven't attained. It's not though as I had already attained, neither is already perfect, but I follow. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. It's like a spiritual tag. Jesus said, I come looking for you. Jesus even said in the New Testament, said, I come to seek and save that which was lost. And once he's found the lost, and he's got that hook in your mouth, he's already served that warrant on your soul. Now guess what? He's walking on. You said, but wait a minute. Hang on. There's some questions I got to know. And he says, well, follow me then, and you'll know. Oh, that I may apprehend that what has already apprehended me. Oh, you know, several years ago, there used to be a song about the game that caught the hunter. The hunter went out after the game, but the game caught the hunter. Amen? Listen, Paul says, I want to catch a little bit of that what has caught me. He sought me. Now it's my turn to seek him. And by the time I get through seeking him, I'm going to be more like him. Oh, that I may apprehend. Oh, you know, apprehend, that's something you run after. That's something that you go after. Oh, that I can apprehend it. Those old rabbit dogs tried to apprehend those rabbits. Sometimes they apprehended them, sometimes they didn't. Paul says that I may apprehend that which apprehended me. Since the Damascus Road, it's my turn. God touched me and tagged me. Now I'm it. I got to touch him to seek God. I'm so glad God found me, aren't you? There's so many other things. But can I tell you something? Let me give you some scripture that you can just write this down. Maybe read it somewhere in the quiet of your day today. The Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon there. Chapter 2. Well, just read chapter 2 and chapter 3. Paul says that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings being made formidable unto his death. The fellowship of his sufferings. Don't leave that out. Oh, there's power in the resurrection. That's of course true. But you know, Psalms chapter 2 and chapter 3, that's going to tell you how we to intimately follow or to go after Jesus Christ. You know, if that's not an intimate way to go after him, there's not an intimate way. Amen? She said, I was lying on my bed. She had already seen him through the lattice there in chapter 2. See, he showed himself, manifested himself. He caught her attention just like he caught your attention, my attention. We were saved by the marvelous grace of God. We saw him through the lattice, but then we tried to find him on our bed, in our comfort zone. Listen, get out of your comfort zone. That tells you you're going to have to travel sometime or another. You got to get up out of the bed. You know, she got up out of the bed. She said, I tried to find him in my bed. I could not find him. I go out in the streets looking for him, and I can't find him. I go to the watchman of the city, which, by the way, you're the watchman. I go to the head of the church and said, do you know God? Have you seen him? Boy, if they'd asked me that about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I'd said, yeah, I've seen him. Looking for him myself. If I had to be truthful. Listen, you don't have to be perfect, the man said last night, just be real. Hey, man, I'm tired. I'm tired of depending on me. I want to depend on God. Would you seek him? Would you seek him? Would you seek him as a lover seeks a lover? Most of us wouldn't be married today if the spouse, if the husband didn't seek us and aggressively tried to apprehend us. But then we have to try to apprehend them, though. That's how it works. Lord bless you. God bless you. Amen.